What's up, guys? Welcome to the Fresh and Fit Podcast. Today, we got special guest Cube Banks.
What's good? What's good?
Number one Forex trader in the United States. Mm-hmm. Let's get into it, baby.
All right. So, guys, we have Cube Banks in the building. What's up, brother?
What's going on, man?
Island boys in the house.
Yeah. That's only right.
Yeah, man. So, what's new, man? What's new?
Everything, man, is like a lot of projects going on and whatnot. You know, it's like, you know, working on like my compound that I have coming soon, working on my car collection, working on my other businesses, my trading. It's a lot going on, man. You know, it's like a whole new journey every single day, you know?
Guys, and I know the viewers probably want to know, how'd you guys get a hold of Cube Banks and get him on your show? And I'll go back real quick. So let's go down memory lane real fast. Oh, no. So me and Walt were here, or Fresh, sorry, I said his real name. Oh my God. We were here at the Panorama looking for, we're looking at units, right? Because we were in the process of moving and figuring out what building do we want to throw our podcast in here in Brickell. And we were right outside the leasing office and Fresh is like, yo, that's Cube Banks. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, that's Cube Banks. I was like, oh, okay. And he's like, yo, when he goes like, talks to him. And then he like tells me after the fact, like introduces me. I'm like, hey man, what's up? Nice to meet you. You're a very friendly demeanor, obviously.
Always. Super humble, bro. Super
right?
humble.
Very humble guy. And I was like, oh, well, what does he, after Fresh, what does he do? He's like, yeah, he's like one of the top Forex traders, bro. Look at this Instagram. I was like, oh, and I just started seeing a bunch of like foreign cars. That's all with some like yellow Lambo and like a bunch of other like crazy Fords. I was like, what the? This guy's not a drug dealer. You sure? He's like, nah.
That would be pretty cool. But
you know, I was like, tatted up Jamaican. Hold on. I got the thing going. Like, wait, what? So, but not, man. So then, you know, obviously him and Fresh sent in contact and, you know, obviously he was able to come in and do an interview, which we were very gracious, very gracious of you. Thank you so much for coming in. Yeah. But yeah, man, I guess we'll ask the first question, which I know a lot of people probably, if people don't know you, like, what's your background exactly?
I'm born in Jamaica. I came here like when I was like 10 years old. Yeah, man, it's just been like a journey since that point on, honestly, because I got my green card when I was 20 years old, which means that I had to find opportunities along the way to kind of like, you know, make do, you know?
It's rough.
It was very, very rough. And from that point, a lot of people know me for like my Target story, you know what I'm saying? Like me working at Target and then pretty much it's blown up like in 5 years in like my industry and whatnot. So yeah, man, it's just like, and it's a lot more too, but at the same time, like that's like the gist of me, you know what I'm saying?
Gotcha. That's like the true American dream right there, man. Coming from, you know, fairly poor country, immigrating in the United States.
Yeah.
You know, cause in Jamaica, you guys speak Patois, right?
Patois, yeah.
Which is a dialect of English. And then coming here and like, this is why, man, I always like, when I see people that are like losers or failures in the United States, I'm like, dude, do you not realize that people immigrate here, right? And they don't know the language. They come with no money and they're able to make something of themselves.
100%.
So you got a guy like yourself who went from Target sales associate to entrepreneur, you know, driving Lambos. Yeah. What was that?
Electronics.
Yeah. Electronics in Target. Yeah. Went from selling electronics, selling, you know, PlayStations and stuff to now he's like driving cars that are on your PlayStation. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, renting cars out to rappers and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
And which I remember meeting him, bro, at the car show one time. I was like, yo, who is this guy? In focus, tall and proud, definitely with a nice ass Porsche.
Always.
I was like, dude, like, who is this guy? And then up until now, we meet him in person. Now he's here.
Yeah, man. So thank you for coming on the show, man.
Right. A lot of people know me for like my Target background, you know, like my whole Target story and that kind of thing. I used to work at Target and all of a sudden, you know, I left Target and blew up and that kind of thing. So, I mean,
that's crazy, bro.
Yeah. And that was only about like 5 years ago. You know what I'm saying? So
5 years ago. Holy
crap. 5 years ago, I was in the red shirt, you know, with a little name tag and everything. But yeah, man, that and then from there, like I started, you know, trading, focusing on trading and then just, you know, focus on that. And just like, that's where I am now, honestly, just time just flies, bro. That's all I'm saying. I want you to focus on that craft itself. But yeah, that's pretty much about like a little summary itself. But it goes a lot more in depth. But at the same time, like, that's like an overall summary, though, man.
So basically you decided, you know what? I'm at Target right now, but I need to find a way out. And you found a way, one thing you could focus on that one thing.
Yeah.
And then you made a way from there.
That's the thing, though. But it wasn't as if I started trading because of Target. I got fired from my previous job, thank God, because if I didn't, then I would have probably still been at that job because it made you so comfortable. Like they actually, you know, that kind of workplace that gives you so many incentives that makes you feel comfortable and want to stay in longer and longer and longer. Mm. So good thing I got fired. And then I had a time period that I wasn't working for like about 6-7 months. And then that's when I was like, yo, I need to find some kind of income. So that's when I came across trading. It wasn't like as profitable as I wanted to as fast. That's normal. Mm-hmm. But then I started to work at Target, and then I was working at Target and still trading. And then over time, as Target was not a bad job. It was a fun job. I could, you know, wear my short sleeves and everything because they didn't really care about tattoos and whatnot.
Right.
So that was pretty cool. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't really judge in that aspect of stuff. But at the same time, I knew that this job couldn't give me the kind of lifestyle that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to kind of like focus full time on that craft that could actually deliver the kind of income that I'm looking for to actually, you know, buy the cars I want to buy, live where I want to live, and that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like just the realization of I deserve better. You know what I'm saying? And then that's when I actually, you know, took that leap of faith to kind of just say, all right, I'm going to just quit this and just focus full time on this thing that is not guaranteed, but at the same time, it's worth it. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's when I started doing that.
I feel like when you are in a comfortable situation, like mm-hmm. you don't really think about, you know what I'm saying? Like all the downsides of being in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But when you really look outside yourself and say, you know what life do I want as an individual, as a young guy? What do I have to do? And you found out what that was basically for you.
Yeah. Kind of like I kind of been seeing my lifestyle in a sense, you know what I'm saying? Kind of like, mm-hmm. you know, like when you're growing up and whatnot and you kind of envision yourself like deep thoughts, like, damn, like I see myself waking up in this kind of bed or like this kind of view. I'm walking to this kind of car. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like a very, very deep thoughts of like a manifestation. Mm-hmm. trying to like envision like how you want to live inside that future. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying it's going to be in a year or two, but at the same time, like you kind of see yourself like, okay, that's how I want to live, but how am I going to get there? No idea, but at the same time, it's kind of like just going to flow and taking advantage of opportunities when they come across, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's really good, bro. Because like even for myself, bro, like, dude, came here 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Working at Chick-fil-A to now here, bro. I mean, this isn't about me, though. This is about you, though. But yeah, you get the point.
Yeah, no, but at the same time, like, you got to big up everybody for, you know, stepping outside of that comfort zone, this, you know, going about the dream that they actually want to, you know, achieve and whatnot.
Back. So were you a manager at Target or were you just like a sales associate?
Bro. I was a sales associate.
Like, just a sales associate. Okay.
Actually, around this time, in November of 2014 is when I applied for like the seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like I'm a person that no matter what I'm
doing. So 6 years ago, it's about 2014.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I'm a person, no matter what I'm doing, like I'm going to be good at it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Sweeping the floor, packing shelves, whatever. So I got actually the position after the seasonal was actually done. So I stayed after everybody actually got cut and whatnot. So I was there after that point. So yeah.
Yeah. So good. And I asked that just to show like the huge leap in 6 years from, you know, a Target sales associate to, you know, one of the top Forex traders in the world. So that's a huge come up, man. That's a huge come up.
Appreciate it, man.
Fresh, I didn't get the list. If you could send it to me real quick, but you go ahead.
Yeah, it's in private chat. All right. So next thing I want to see, bro, is basically like what made you pick that as your passion in your business, you would say?
Personally, I feel like you know, like one of those things that's kind of like it has came. And I look back at like even like when I was back in high school and whatnot, I look at like my grades. And I was always good at economics and whatnot. Like I always got like an A in economics.
Yeah.
Because that's like one thing that always caught my attention.
Mm-hmm.
So I never really realized that I was really into it until I look at my report card the other day. And then like this, like when I'm super deep in trading already. And I'm like, damn, like I was been into this from a long time ago and I never even knew it. So when I turned around like 20 years old, I started to like dabble in stocks for a tad bit. Mm-hmm. Didn't really make much money and whatnot, but at the same time, I seen the potential.
Right.
And then if you know about stocks, then you know about Forex and you know about all the other type of trading assets and whatnot. And it's not as if it was a passion at first. It was kind of just a hobby. It's always a hobby. You know what I'm saying? It's a hobby, then turn passion. Once you actually understand it enough and you see the results of what it's making, then you turn it into that passion. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So over time, like when I used to just dabbling in trading Forex. I remember like making my first $1,000 a day back in April 2015.
Damn.
I was walking out of a sociology class in college and I hit my first $1,000 a day. And this is like after like, you know, maybe trading for about like 5 months or so. But I walked out of class from taking a test and it said 1K. Then I closed that 1K. And then from me just closing that, I was like, God damn, like this is really fucking possible. You know what I'm saying? It's like $1,000 a day. But I mean, now it's kind of like, things have definitely grown from that point. By the same time, like, I seen the potential because if I can make $1,000, then I can make $10,000 and $100,000 a day. And I've done that in these years, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like just realizing that the money is there and it could be made once the skill is there also.
So you would say the young guys basically don't try to look for it, just let it find you, you would say, for the most part?
Like, what do you mean?
Like your passion or your business?
I feel like a lot of people don't really understand the concept of what a passion is. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, as far as just like, they feel as if like, you know, they're like, once they start trading at all, like they're going to be full fledged into it, like how I am, mm-hmm. but that's not the case. Mm-hmm. I was been into it from like, this is like what I breathe. Like, this is what I do. You know what I'm saying? So versus a person that this is like their part-time stuff and everything. This is like what I do full-time. This is what I actually do every single day for the past like 6 years plus, you know what I'm saying? Some people just put it part-time. So like you actually only focusing on that certain skill set part-time, you're never gonna reach that passion stage.
Right.
Because if it's a passion, you're not worried about how long a day that you're studying, how much time it takes to actually get to a certain point. You're just pretty much doing it because you just fuck with it. You know what I'm saying? So that's when you actually fall in love with the process. As I always say, like you fall in love with the process, because once you do, that's when it becomes a passion, knowing that it could bring you to where you're trying to go.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Did you end up finishing school? Once you made that $1,000 a day and you're like, I don't need this crap anymore?
No, I never thought like that.
Finish?
No, I didn't finish. But okay. But I applied for the nursing program actually, and I didn't get in. That's when I was like, yo, you know what? Let me just focus on what I was focusing on.
Mm.
Because I bust my ass to like get the grades, get the GPA, get everything that I needed to pretty much apply for that program. So knowing that I worked that hard to get rejected, that's when I was like, man, fuck this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's when I was like, let me just focus on what I was focusing on, because this is not going to work.
And make your own path.
Yeah.
Was this here in the United States? Was this okay?
This is at BC. BC. Yeah, BC. In Broward, actually. You know what I'm saying? So like, after I didn't get in, like, I mean, I was definitely depressed for a couple of days, and then I went on a flight to Cali after that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can't bother. Yeah. So it's kind of like just realizing that like a lot of the opportunities that people are trying to get out here, like, a lot of people is not going to make it, you know what I'm saying? But me having a path that I'm already walking on, let me just focus on that path because it's already working for me. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not going to stop that because of getting rejected from the program, you know? So slim chance.
Anyway. And in life, we get rejections all the time, man.
Yeah.
Females, business partners, jobs. Of course. But you can't let it pull you back and hold you down.
Definitely not, man. And I know all of us here have been rejected from a female 1,000 times. You know what I mean? So it's part of the game. So you gotta kind of just get rejected and then get back on the playing field. You know what I'm saying? That's just a part of the game.
1,000 is an understatement.
1,000 is an understatement. Hey.
Yeah, man. We talk about that all the time, how guys got to work volume, but we won't even get into that right now. This is a Forex discussion. We ain't talking about chicks. So, all right. So what made you get into cars, and what cars do you have now?
Cars have always been a passion of mine, bro. Like, ever since I can remember, maybe like, let's say 7-8 years old, back in Jamaica and everything, first I was into trucks, like 18 wheelers and everything. Like, that was my Ferrari, a Lamborghini, you know what I'm saying? Like, growing up in the islands and everything, that's all that we really see. Like, we don't really see those kind of exotic cars that we see inside the States.
Yeah.
So there was one time that I seen a 300ZX, which is a Nissan. In the islands, and then I thought that was a Ferrari. I was like, yo, no, you know what I'm saying? They're going crazy. And then around that same time, I was playing games like Cruising in the USA, Gran Turismo, Midnight Club, Forza, you know what I'm saying? Like, all these racing games. So like, cars and stuff has always been a passion, because that's always like that thing that I gravitated to, the speed, like the looks, like the aggressiveness, the sound, all that stuff, you know? So being able to grow, and then like, you know, being able to afford and being able to be in the position to fund those passions that I've been had, it's pretty cool, you know? So that's why like my car collection now is growing so rapidly, because like I'm grinding so fucking hard now, you know what I'm saying? So like you said, the cars that I have now, I have a 2020 Ferrari Pista, which is a limited edition. Mm-hmm. I have a 2017 Lamborghini SB, which is a limited edition, 1 out of 600. Mm-hmm. I just bought another 2017 Lamborghini SV, which is another 1 out of 600. So I have 2 out of 600. Yeah. I have a 2011 BMW M3, which is a classic, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yes.
BMW fans, like, they know that car itself is a legend.
Will never die.
Yep.
I have, what else do I have? I'm getting Audi RS7, the 2020, that's coming out. Well, yeah.
The first vehicle you mentioned, the Ferrari Pista, I believe.
Yeah.
That's you can't get that car. You got to hit a certain some certain parameters to get that vehicle, right?
Majority of times, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like when it comes to an allocation, like as far as building the car from the Ferrari, you have to own a Ferrari previously to even be able to qualify to build that kind of car.
Okay. Are there other prerequisites besides, let's say you don't have Ferrari, is there a certain amount of money you got to have, or you got to put a certain down payment?
You have to know people. Definitely, okay. But you also have to have other supercars. A lot of times, if that's your first car, a lot of times they're not going to sell it to you.
Yeah.
Right.
I doubt it.
Okay.
Unless you go to a private seller, that's different. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But besides that, like I've always,
as far as the dealership goes, they're not going to bother creating a car from scrap for you unless you're like vetted. You have supercars. You have this.
And Ferrari's bougie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Ferrari's bougie. Like you can't go in a Ferrari dealership. Anybody try this? Go into a Ferrari dealership and try to buy a brand new Ferrari. It's not going to happen.
No.
They're going to say no. Like, and even
really?
Even if you have the money, they're not going to do it. Because when I had my Porsche GT3 RS, I had wanted to buy one from Texas, but I was like, yo, I have the money, like right now, $180,000 ready. They said, sorry, we can't sell you the car because you didn't own a previous Porsche. So that's when I had bought my Porsche GT3 and then I upgraded to the RS because I couldn't go straight into the RS. You know what I'm saying?
So this is something that's adopted by a lot of luxury car brands. Porsche does this. Ferrari does this. Does Lamborghini do this too?
Lamborghini's not that bad. Only with certain cars with the Lamborghini.
Like those 1-600s ones that you were mentioning. Those you got to have some kind of vetting.
Correct.
Hold on. Let me give him a dollar market for all those cars.
A lot of cars. I have like maybe like $1.5 or $1.6 million in cars like right now.
So, you know what's funny? Growing up in islands, right? The most cars we see is probably like a Mitsubishi Evo.
Yeah, Evo.
250Z.
Yeah. Yep.
We don't really see like Lamborghinis or Ferraris. So to us, that's like a big jump.
It's a big thing, yeah.
So just to be here in the US and get those cars is really like mind-blowing, bro. Like all the guys in the islands, you guys know off rip. Like, this is not something common. So that's legit, bro.
Appreciate that, man.
Props to you, dude. Props to you.
That's why like in all of my cars, like I have my flag. You know, my flag is hanging right there in the middle. You know what I'm saying? Because I want to show the people back on the islands and everything. Yo, it's possible. You know what I'm saying? Like, coming here and everything, getting my green card when I was 20 years old. And from that point, just working. I'm here now. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like to show people that, yo, anything is possible, no matter where you're from, no matter the upbringing and whatnot, it's possible.
Yeah, bro. And you manifested that, bro. That's fine.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Dude, okay. So, what's the next car, though? That's what I want to know. I saw a glimpse of it on your story, but I want you to maybe say
No. The other Lamborghini, it should be done building within the next like week. Mm-hmm. But after that car, it's gonna be something crazy. It's gonna be something maybe like in the seven figures. You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna probably aim big, but I'm gonna take my time because.
So guys, if you want to see it, follow him on Instagram at Q Banks to find out what's gonna
definitely.
Yeah. No, man. If you guys look at his Instagram, he has like a bunch of sports cars in there. What's your Instagram? Just plug it. I mean, it's going to be in the description box as well, but
it's at @CUEBANKS.
Okay. Yeah. He has a bunch of foreign whips. So that segues perfectly into the next thing. So, because we're going to talk about this in our Instagram course that we're releasing, the power of having cars and the networking. Doors it opens with networking.
100%. Yeah.
So, we know, that you have know some high level people, right? Obviously some rappers, etc., that you've been able to open the doors with your vehicles. What's that like?
Like what's the feeling like?
Yeah, I mean, number one, what's it like to be able to network with these kinds of people? And then number two, what kind of doors has just having high end and supercars open for you?
I feel like you know, doing what I do, you're gonna get approached a lot more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like that's like what it is. Like, I wouldn't get approached if I'm driving a Honda Civic, you know what I'm saying, flexing and whatnot. It's not going to work.
Yeah. Facts.
Lifestyle.
No one's going to pull up to me, hey, like, what do you do? This and that, this and that. But if I pull out of a Lamborghini, a Ferrari, you know, this car, that car, this car, they're like, yo, you're so-and-so age. Like, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
They're always curious. Perfect. A person is never going to be curious for a person that's driving a commonly seen car.
Yeah. Corolla.
You know, and you're only, what, in your early 30s or late 20s? Yeah.
I turned 30 in July, so it's been like about 6 months.
Okay, I'm 30 as well. So yeah, we're the same age. 1990,
got you,
bro.
Got you.
Yeah.
So, 28 over here.
Because I saw, I think I caught one of your cars, the yellow Lambo, in one of the Migos music videos when they were shooting, right? They used your car for that.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Just known people, bro. Like, they were looking for a car that stood out for as far as like a summer type color car. Mm-hmm. And then my boys know me, that know them, seen that, yo, I have a car that pops out and whatnot. And then it gave me the opportunity. So I was like, yo, like, why not? You know, and they still paid me for the shoot, you know? Like,
oh, that's lit.
Dope.
$500. It's cool. Like, you know, I'll take it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But Keely, that's my favorite car that you have though, bro. I'm not gonna lie.
Appreciate that.
Can I go for a ride?
Huh?
Can I go for a ride?
I got you. Yeah. I get it back like next week. So yeah, I got you, man.
Damn, that's fire, bro. That's fire.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when you get cars like that, I would imagine people just like line up to try to like, you know, shoot with it or create content, whatever.
Yeah, man. But at the same time, like my cars are very, very personal. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I don't rent my cars out, nothing like that. Everything is just more just me, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, I have certain friends and everything that I trust that, you know, that drive with me with my cars. Mm-hmm. So like whenever we're like mobbing out and everything, I might make one of my friends drive the Lambo, then I drive the Ferrari, then
I saw like the montage that you have sometimes on your videos, like you, your other cars. I'm like, wait, who's driving those?
Yeah. You know, yeah. So like that way, like my friends get to enjoy the car as well, but also I trust them enough to enjoy it responsibly. You know what I'm saying? And then I hope they drive it like how I would drive it. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like just seeing the car perform on how I would actually drive it. Also, it's pretty cool too while I drive my other car.
And guys, real quick, this guy is one of the most humble guys I've known that has success, because this guy literally shares and has value all the time. Yeah. He could be like stuck up, be like, oh, no, I'm good. But he also talks to people. You could be a janitor. You could be the top salesman VP. He's going to holler at you and talk to you.
Yeah, man, because I feel like it's just the upbringing, bro. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just growing up in the islands and everything, like, I'm not stush. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not new to having, like, you know, super, 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 like, nice things. But at the same time, like, I grew up with a good family, like manners and that kind of stuff. So I feel like it's just how you grow up in with your parents and that kind of stuff, how they go about things. If you don't get cocky and egotistical as you're making money and whatnot, you know, you're going to grow up with a good head on your shoulders, despite how much fucking money you make.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I can make $100,000 tomorrow and I'm still the same person. It's whatever. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it's not about the money. It's about the people. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. So what was it like meeting the amigos? I mean, you probably showed up on the video shoot. You got to meet them in person. What was that like?
Oh God, they're assholes. Nah, because it was like one scene that,
they were a jerk to you, especially after you lent your car.
Oh, like, man, Quavo had these 6'3" chicks and everything on my car and everything. Like, I had to bust in, like, yo, get the fuck off my car. This and that. Because I'm like, yo, listen, I don't care how much money you have, bro. This is my car. It's not rented. You know what I'm saying? So,
he had six, like tall chicks.
Damn.
Okay. They were like, sitting on it or they were sitting in.
Imagine white chicks.
Okay. Yep.
Them.
Okay, got you. So were they sitting in the car? Were they standing on it?
They were standing on top of the car.
Oh, no, bro.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. So, like, I mean, I don't really, like, I would never be friends, like, with them, honestly, because that's not, like, my kind of vibe. You know what I'm saying? Just from how the energy that he gave me from protecting my asset, and I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to be cool with that kind of person.
Beg for friends.
No, of course not. Especially, like a rapper nigga, I'm good. Like, I don't really care for that. You know what I'm saying? And
what did he say when you said, hey, like, get those chicks off?
He said, we got money to pay for it. This and that, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yo, bro, like, it's not even about that, man.
Yeah. You know, it's like, this is my car. Yeah.
So try to throw in money in my face, bro. Trust me, money doesn't faze me.
Yeah.
As far as a person saying, I got this and this much amount of money, that doesn't faze me. But at the same time, I'm not impressed by that.
Yeah.
You know,
it was a principle that they were willing to mess up your car for a video. That's the, I feel you. Lack of respect.
Correct.
Yo, and by the way, those girls belong.
She belongs to the streets.
Facts. Big facts. You already know them chicks. Yeah, when rappers come here to Miami, I don't think a lot of people know this. There's like a set of girls that they just use for their videos and everything like that. And like, these chicks are basically like hired guns. And, you know, quite frankly, they don't have a lot of respect for rented, because when they mostly do their video shoots, because Fresh has helped a lot of these guys get these cars, it's rented cars, so they treat them like crap.
Bro, the car that was next to mine's, like, it had scratches all over the hood. I'm like, yo, I felt so bad, because I'm like, god damn, because those can't come out. Like, you gotta either buff it hella hard or some shit. But I felt bad for the dude, because that's a rental car, you know?
You know what's funny, bro? I got a story real quick, right? Just so you know that I know how you feel. Let's go down memory lane.
This is a good story.
Yeah. So I'm a networker, right? I like meeting new people, networking, you know what I'm saying, adding value. And this rapper in the Migos group, actually, you might know him. I don't know how to say his name. Anyway, he's a part of the Migos group, right? Or he was. And he came to Miami, hit me up on Instagram. Yo, bro, I'm down here. Let's connect.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. This guy's hitting me up. Blue check mark. Okay, cool. I got you, bro. So I hit up my connections. my friend owns a rental car company in Miami, mm-hmm. South Beach.
Yeah.
So, yo, bro, my boy's here. He's a rapper. We need a car. Okay. Can you get them today? He said, yeah, no problem. I got you, bro. Mm-hmm. So I got homie discount, which is like half off.
Yeah.
Because it's me. All right, bro. Here's the car. You know what I'm saying? Just make sure you're cool with it. Stay here in Miami and you should be good to go. This dude drives from Miami to Florida to a random location. Mind you, it's being tracked all the time, right? He told me he's going to stay in Miami. Then he has like a bunch of people on top of the car, dancing, twerking. I'm like, bro, it's been on a story, right? And I'm like, bro, my conscience of giving you my boy's car and confidence, you just like totally
destroyed it. Yeah, destroyed it.
And it makes your name bad then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So then when I call him, yo, bro, like, you know what I'm saying? My boy's hitting me up. Like, you passed the speed limit tons of times. Like, you did a bunch of crap. Oh, my bad, bro. But, like, you know what I'm saying? I got a car for the day. I'll just pay whatever. Bro, it's not about the money. It's about
principle. Yeah.
Principle, no.
Respect.
So I know you feel, bro. Yeah. I know you feel 100%. 100%.
And yo, like,
they don't care.
That's wild. Like, I didn't know that, like, they were having chicks stand on the car.
Yeah.
Like, bro, that's just low IQ. Like, Lamborghini, it's obviously low to the ground.
Right.
You're trying to stand on the hood, which is actually the trunk. It's bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That just shows like a blatant disregard.
With mines, they were on the hood. No, on the roof.
Oh,
on the roof.
Wow.
Not the hood.
They're on
the hood too, but then they went on the roof of the car.
Cute. And the chicks were just trying to twerk on there.
They must be.
Are you dumb?
Must be. Yeah, bro. That's crazy. And that tells me like that they probably don't even own their... Like, if you owned your own whips, right, that are high level like this, you wouldn't do that.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And this is, we talk about this all the time, how, like, a lot of rappers rent their vehicles or, you know, everything is leased. It's not what, the music videos portray a certain lifestyle that a lot of these guys don't even live themselves. You know what I mean? Because people think 100%. That rappers have a lot more money than people think. But in reality,
they're not liquid.
They're exactly. Yeah. Boom. It's not liquid cash. Yeah. It's like, oh, the record label is supposed to pay them like $5 million. But what people don't know is that half that money is going to go to taxes. It's got to go to their team, their managers, et cetera. By the time they get their payout, sometimes it's less than $1 million, bro.
A fraction of that, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, a lot of the time these music videos portray a certain lifestyle that they don't necessarily live. Right. You know what I mean? And the guys that flex the hardest on the music videos typically tend to be the most broke. So that just tells me like a gross negligence of like what supercars are capable of and care for them. From them doing that with the chicks. Because if you had that kind of money, you had these nice cars, you would know, nah, none of you chicks can get on the top of this. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I don't know. Just
I remember like what?
Clowns.
Rappers overall, like they have a culture of faking it till they make it. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like a common thing. It's like in the rap world. And I mean, I get it. The money is not really there, but at the same time, like you could, let's say, rent your way to the top, you know, like that kind of thing until it actually comes real. But at the same time, I don't really respect a lot of the ways that they go about things. You know what I'm saying? It's just me.
That's crazy, bro.
I lost my respect. He's like, yeah, bro, I could buy three of these Lamborghinis. Like, go buy it, bro.
Hey, and real talk, let's make no mistake about it. These dudes are like hood dudes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like they're from, they're not from Atlanta. They're from like right outside, I think Gwinnett County or something like that. Like these are like hood dudes with like no, you know what I'm saying? No real, because I've heard other stories about how they operate and how they're like super disrespectful to people and everything like that, especially about Quavo. So I'm not surprised that he said that BS about, oh, yeah, man, it's all cool. We can pay for it. And it's like, bro, it goes far beyond that, man.
Segue into like being successful, you know what I'm saying? Being humble and being that good dude. What advice would you give to like young guys that want to make it and be successful?
Damn. Have a vision for yourself, man. Have like, think for yourself a lot of times. Take advantage of opportunities. I feel like a lot of people just don't really take advantage of opportunities that they come across because they're always asking, hey, like, should I do this? Should I do this? Like, how should I go about this? How should I go about this? I'm like, yo, just try it. Like, try the, like, whichever way that you feel as if it's comfortable for that situation. You know what I'm saying? And if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Life still goes on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're cute. Real quick. Do you know what my brand is? CEO?
Yeah.
Control every opportunity. It's funny you said that, bro.
Nice. Yeah.
It's funny you said that, bro. Hold on.
That's dope. No.
Yeah.
And that and just like just don't be intimidated by people that you don't even know. That's a big one, I feel like, because I feel like people won't approach a person. Despite them not knowing them, they still won't approach them because they feel intimidated. Like, why do you feel intimidated by a person that you don't know, that you know nothing about, that they don't know you, that kind of stuff? Like, why do you feel as if like you can't approach them in any kind of way and then get some kind of information that can help you with whatever journey that you're on? You know what I'm saying? So just be open to networking, be open to speaking, be open to stepping outside that comfort zone. like be open to you know, different resources that you may come across that might seem sketchy to one person, but at the same time, if you feel as if like it's right, fuck it, why not, right? Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing, don't listen to your parents.
Mm.
That's probably like a huge one, because at the same time, like, remember, like people are conditioned itself. Like if a person is growing up and their parents haven't really done much for themselves, as far as like reach, you know, certain goals that they have in mind and everything else, like you can't really listen to them in every single aspect, because you have to kind of like break that mold. If you want to break that family mold, you have to pretty much do things opposite of what they did.
Yeah, because they'll push their beliefs on you,
of course, and then all of a sudden it's a whole new generation of doing the same shit.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So like that's like one thing that is definitely it happens a lot. It happens every single day. But at the same time, like I feel like it's like if your parents are not where, if your parents aren't what you consider successful or motivational to whatever you're working towards, you have to not listen to them in that aspect, because it's not going to help you.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, and I mean, your parents are always going to look for you to have security.
Yeah,
you know, they're not necessarily going to tell you, oh yeah, become an entrepreneur, take risks,
yeah,
you know, and make it on your own. They're going to tell you, get the stable 9-to-5, collect a paycheck, yeah, get a retirement, you know, get your medical benefits, etc. They're not really going to want, they don't want to incentivize you to take risks, you know?
Yeah, because like, don't get me wrong, like my parents and everything, like they weren't with what I was doing. Like they didn't support anything at first. But I mean, like once they see that things are working for me, okay, cool. Like, I have a new apartment. I have a new car. I have a new this, I have a new that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I'm traveling. Like
yep. Able to help them out as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. But like now I'm able to help my family out as much as, you know, they want to, or as how much ever I want to. So they could actually benefit, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, like at first they didn't really see the vision, because the vision was so strong in my eyes, but at the same time, it does not mean that it's so super strong in their eyes.
Correct.
Yeah. You get me?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, and it's not their fault, you know what I'm saying? Because it's something that they're not used to, which I can't blame them for, you know what I'm saying? So at the same time, like being the first entrepreneur of my generation in a sense, and like in my family, that feels good, because I'm like breaking a mold of doing something different.
Yep.
Something different that wasn't really, really, let's say, embraced.
Yep.
Because
going against the grain,
bro. And you have to sometimes.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
that's when, you know, you actually find those goals and everything that can now be reached. But also I'm able to help my family out in so many other ways.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So that feels good and everything just by going against the grain.
Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect.
We'll do an intermission right here, because I know you guys, I saw the thing ringing. Yeah. So we'll intermission here, guys. Commercial break.
Commercial break.
All right, guys. We're back from intermission with Q Banks, Fresh Prince CEO. As you guys know, Myron Gaines, Fresh and Fit Podcast. Yeah. Let's get right back into
it.
All right. So Q, in this case, right?
Yeah.
Next question is, I kind of want to know, like, okay, what's the biggest mistake people make in 2020 or just in general on the road to like success, like guys, girls?
Yeah. What do you say? I'll say, based off experience, I gotta say instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because everyone's on Instagram and they see others, you know, they see people of different industries and everything else. So, like they see a lot of what's going on, people that's just starting, people that's doing good, and they always gravitate to the person that's doing good because that might inspire them, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, like what they don't see is like what the person did to actually get to that point.
Mm.
And just being blinded by just that aspect alone is going to make the person think that, you know, it could happen like in a week or a couple of days or like a
overnight.
Yeah. Like a shorter amount of time than what it took for that person to actually get to that point. You know what I'm saying? So like, they don't, like I said, inside other question, like if a person is passionate about something, then they're not going to watch the amount of time that they're putting in a certain craft. Like they're just going to be doing it based off of just love and the aspect of knowing that that craft can actually get into where they I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's like probably the biggest thing I see, like is a common error, like when it comes to entrepreneurship or the road to success alone, you know.
Yeah. That was definitely
perfect.
Yeah. Hey,
awesome, bro.
Good.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, instant gratification is definitely a downfall of a lot of people, you know. A definitely, lot of people, yeah. We live in a fast food world society nowadays where people want instant gratification.
Yes,
you know, we live in a world where you can literally call someone and a stranger shows up in a black car, picks you up or delivers you food or whatever, yeah, it may be. So yep. I always say it's like a fast food type mentality that we have in 2020. And I know this too, because I'm a fitness coach as well. And like the first thing is, oh, how fast can I build muscle? How fast can I like lose all this weight? It's like, nah, bros, you spent 20 years being a fat piece of shit.
They want it next week.
Yeah. So it's going to take a few months, if not a year, for you to lose the weight. So
Yeah, it's funny too because like people from Barbados back home, they see me my success right now, and they're like, "Oh, bro, like you did it overnight." But that took me 5 years, bro. It's not like always just like that. It happens over time of you working on your craft. So you're right.
Because all it takes is to actually just keep on grinding, because eventually, you know, you're gonna get some kind of exposure, then get to that point to actually start to build that brand alone. You know,
right? Or you might meet the right person.
Yeah. Like you're networking the entire time. Like you're going places. You're doing this. You're doing that. Like you're doing what needs to be done to make that brand grow or that craft grow. You know.
All right. Yeah. And then question for like the young guys out there, because we got like a lot of young guys following us on Instagram, YouTube. Mm-hmm. So question is, should you chase your goals or women?
I feel like when you chase your goals, the right women would actually come. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you focus on the females, like I feel too quickly, you'll lose sight of that goal, because then you're going to be, more than likely a common thing is you're going to be grinding for that person versus yourself. But at the same time, like when you get to that point of where you want to be, you'll be that right person to actually, you know, take on that responsibility and whatnot for that female. So not rushing the process and like just understand, like, you know, that person will come, you know, just don't rush it.
Yeah. Right. You can't force it.
Yeah. Just work on yourself first, because at the same time, like you want to be the best version of yourself. And there's certain times, you know, distractions happen at times, you know what I'm saying? So making sure that you're focused enough to actually get better in whatever you're trying to do without any kind of distractions. But whenever you are at that point, it's, you'll be right, you know. Mentally, you will be there, and you won't actually get straight away from what you're actually trying to accomplish.
And you come from like a position of power rather than like scarcity in that sense.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just no.
And that's what we teach guys here, bro. Like, just work on yourself a little bit, do the work, as Richard Cooper would say.
Yep.
And then from there, once you have that foundation set, you can pretty much do whatever you want for the most part.
Yeah, because you're not going to be going day to day, you know, thinking on like what if, you know. You know, always try to reach towards that goal and everything. Like I always say, at the end of the day, you first, you know, it has to be that way, because once you work on yourself, then you can help everybody else. And then you could pretty much like work towards like that person that you want to be.
Bro. Yeah. Excellent. Myron.
You know, Rich Cooper is one of my coaches. I don't know if you know him. He's a big YouTuber. He always says chase excellence. Entrepreneurs as Cars. Go check out his YouTube channel. He always says chase excellence, not women. You know what I mean? And the thing is that when you... I should be speaking. I'm speaking from experience here. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like when you're chasing chicks all the time, when I first moved to Miami, man, I was like going out, you know, almost every weekend, you know, going out to Live, Story, all the clubs, whatever it may be, a couple of them that I'm banned from, which I will not say right now. But, you know, it's very taxing, man. Mm-hmm. And you, next thing you know, it's like, man, I spent all this money on booze and partying. And it's like, what do I got to show for it? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I got some tourists, but it's like, all right, what the hell? You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, it's better off to just, you know, work on yourself, become successful, and then let women be a byproduct of it versus like chasing the women. So
correct.
I agree. It took me a bit to figure that out. You know, I'm 30 now, but like when I first moved here at 28, I like had to learn that the hard way.
Yeah. So it's, I feel like a person has to learn it, you know, they have to actually, you know, have their fun, but also understand when it's time to slow down and, you know,
do things big facts.
Seriously, you know?
And I'll say this too, like I make the most money when I'm not chasing after chicks, you know, versus 100%. Like when I'm getting the most, I'm getting the most action from women. I'm, you know, like losing the most money, wasting the most time, whatever it may be. So it's like, it's a bad investment, guys, is what the main thing I'm trying to say, man.
And it's just like, everyone's going to have their own, you know, perspective, like when it comes to that. But at the same time, I feel like, you know, a lot of people they stray away from their goals and everything when they actually get that distraction at times, you know what I'm saying? So it has to be a right time, you know?
And it's funny because like I used to go on 3 to 5 dates a day, bro. Literally
3 to 5 dates a day.
A day from Instagram, and my whole time was being taken up by doing that. And Myron had to say, "Look, bro, take a step back. What's more important?"
Yeah, he was wasting even more time than me. So that's how you know it was bad when I had to come in and be like, "Bro, what are you doing?"
But no, you're right though. Like it's a byproduct of success, not like we should go for right away.
Yeah.
So you're right.
Definitely. So what are the top 3 things you think every guy should have a good lifestyle?
Definitely multiple streams of income. Like that's like one. The second one I'll probably say is, you know, like when the time comes, you know, have that right female by your side and everything to actually enjoy all of that success with, I feel like. And the third one, I feel like just a vision to do better, a vision to just grow, you know, and not lose sight of that. You know? Yeah. So that's probably like the top 3.
That's fire, yeah. man.
Okay. No, that's man, fire. That's what's up. And then top three businesses you would recommend guys to get into in today's modern age.
Yeah, definitely. So overall, you know, I'm kind of biased.
Yeah, of course.
Forex. Nothing else.
I'm kind of biased. No, but like in my space, like I feel like I've access to, you know, all of those things that entrepreneurs and like digital entrepreneurs actually crave, you know, when it comes to, I'll probably say top three things, trading. Come on, like it's a go-to because you making money every single day, whenever you want, like that kind of thing. The concept is great, you know?
Right. You and when you say space, and when you say you trading, you mean Forex or
So what I am, I'm not a Forex trader. I'm a trader because I've grown out of that Forex trader type of asset area because I don't trade currencies anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
All I trade is indexes, which is not so I'm not a Forex trader. And Forex means currency. I'm not, I haven't traded currencies in the past year.
Oh, okay. You know what I'm so my bad, because like, we were saying Forex. No, we thought it was Forex.
Trader as far as I could trade anything. I could trade stocks. I could trade currencies. I could trade cryptos. I could trade
crypto. Okay.
So like I could trade pretty much anything with charts. Like that's like my, you know, art in a sense. So I consider myself a trader, not a Forex trader.
So you know the skill of it. So you got the foundation, no pack. So whatever it is, you could just trade.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Like I feel like I've made money on every single platform, as far as like that, honestly, because I just understand it, you know.
And all right, we stand corrected then. We thought it was a Forex, but you do everything.
It's a broader.
So you do Forex, crypto, indexes, everything. Correct, yeah. Which is okay, so that's awesome.
So basically if I learn from you, I kinda know like the foundation for everything.
Exactly.
Dude,
exactly.
That's dope,
so
bro.
Like you could dabble in everything that deals with the financial assets and of trading and investments and that kind of stuff, just based off of the knowledge that I actually give. You know what I'm saying?
I'll meet you on the side, bro. Yeah.
Let me ask this then, because now that I know that you trade multiple types of commodities, how much time do you spend researching? Because obviously it takes a lot of work to be able to make educated trades to actually profit. Because a lot of people trade, but they don't really know what they're doing. But to like be extremely profitable and make it a lucrative business, essentially, or a lucrative endeavor, you got to really know what you're doing.
You have to know a lot of things. What you're speaking on as far as like research and whatnot, that's called like fundamental analysis.
Yeah.
That's like you actually looking up articles and that kind of stuff.
And charts, analyzing patterns, etc.
Like the fundamental aspect of stuff is like one aspect of trading. And then you got to pretty much understand the technical aspect and then the candlestick analysis aspect and then pretty much chart flow. And like there's so many aspects that I actually understand, but at the same time, once you pretty much understand all of those category of things, then it's going to make trading all of those things easy. So as far as research and whatnot, you could probably spend an hour a day before you start trading and everything to do your research. But at the same time, all of those other aspects have to be on point to make that fundamental aspect work. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you got to be, you know.
Are you staying in tune with the news all the time, watching the charts closely?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like you're keeping track of everything at the same time, but it's not overwhelming though. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like, you know, news comes out at certain times of the day, so it's not as if you're sitting by your phone 24/7.
Yeah, because people tend to think that. I mean, I'm not going to even cap. Like I was thinking, like that's what, because one of my crypto advisors, he watches the charts all day, so I wasn't sure if
when people do that, I feel like it kind of takes away from the reason as to why you're doing what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Like I like to have my fun, but also be on the charts also. Like when I'm working, but I don't want to work all day.
All day.
That kind of takes away the fact that
defeats the purpose of entrepreneurship, right?
Yeah. But also entrepreneurship, also, you know, trading itself, because trading, you're supposed to, you know, be on the train, you know, be on the airplane. You know what I'm saying? Like anywhere at any point, versus on the computer the entire time. Like, so that's how I actually go about things. I like to actually enjoy my time as well, but also be on the charts when I have to, but don't really live on the charts.
Actually, that leads to my next question. So how has trading changed your life from back then to like now, like in terms of like lifestyle, cars, people?
Bro, access, man. Access to anything and everything, bro. That's what it is. It's like I'm living a GTA lifestyle, like with the cheat codes. I promise you. At times, like that's how I feel. You know what I'm saying? Like if I want to get like a new car, cool. Like I could grind on charts for this entire week, probably hit a couple $100,000 or some shit. And then go get the car that I want. So the chart itself has the power to give you as much money as you want, as long as you're good enough to get it. You know what I'm saying? So I don't, trading itself has gave you full access to any and everything once the skill is there. So that's what trading actually does for me.
So it sounds like Tony Montana says, you get the power, you get respect and everything else.
Because once that's not an issue anymore, then you can pretty much do like whatever that you want to do, you know?
Because I'll say, right, there's three rooms in this world, right? Especially for like guys. there's the guys that are successful, have the money basically in one room. There's the blue pill guys that are kind of like trying to figure out what life is, you know what I'm saying? What you should do in life. And then there's guys that like are aware of like how the world is, but they're missing the high value, like successful part.
Yeah, yeah.
So whatever room you're in is where you're at. But you need to jump to eventually this part over here.
Correct. Yeah. To like learn room. Something else. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
It takes time. Yeah. That's my first time ever even hearing about that also. But yeah.
Yeah.
That's some real shit.
I got you.
So last question, man, we on our podcast, we talk about becoming high value. Right. And there's many different interpretations of it. And by your definition, what do you believe high value means? Is become a high value man?
High value to me means that you're able to give something that isn't physical. You know what I'm saying? Because when it's not physical, such as like generational wealth, you know what I'm saying? Generational knowledge. That alone is changing the dynamic of whatever kind of family that you're coming from. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like having high value means giving knowledge, giving something that can actually spread from generation to generation and not be physical.
Yo, that was some dope game. Hold on, one more time. You see that one more time, bro?
Which part, bro?
What's high value mean to you? One more time.
Yeah, like high value to me is being able to give generational knowledge, generational wealth, because it's not physical. Like, and when it's not physical, you could actually change how your family like works, like the dynamic of your family, like where they come from. Like you're changing the path completely and then showing them something new to actually change every single generation beyond that point.
That's dope, man.
Yeah, just like we're discussing before, going against the grain, against societal norms, because society tells you get a stable job, 9 to 5, get a retirement, take your retirement at 60 and then die on a beach somewhere in Florida, right?
Correct.
But when you go against the grain, you're able to kind of make that life for you earlier.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But as we always say, entrepreneurship is high risk, high reward, right? Yeah. Because you could fail, end up on the side of the street in Brickell. Hey, can I get a dollar? Or you could make it big. And you know what I mean?
What is well deserved is not going to be easy to get.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why, a lot of people fail. And that's why like the journey of entrepreneurship is not easy, because it's so rewarding at the end. So if that was the case, then
everybody would be
exactly, so it's not gonna be easy, but at the same time, like, it's well worth it if you're willing to go through that,
process.
That friggin' process, that journey, that expedition, because entrepreneurship, like, it throws all kinds of shit at you, and you got to pretty much be ready to work your way out of it and find the tools,
Facts.
Yeah.
And I'll say as well, like, being high value, your network will tell you that you're high value, just like your friends, your business partners, your family.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing, because like when you're going about whatever journey that you're on, right, you can't call yourself good. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know that you're good at what you like people say, all kind of things about me, but at the same time, I always say that I'm good at what I do, but I would never call myself great or a master. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, like, once you do that, that's when you kind of hit the cap of on whatever you're trying to get. So let the people talk. Mm. Let the people rate you as to how good that you are, or if you're a high value or not. You know what I'm saying? But be confident at the same time about what you know and that kind of shit,
Right.
So be high value, but don't be egotistical at the same time. Make the people talk. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's no better honest indicator of your success than when other people say it for you. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing to say I'm the best, but then when people echo it and say, yeah, no, he is the best. You look at Jordan, for example, right? Yeah. He never opens his mouth about who the best is, everybody on ESPN has no problem saying, oh, LeBron will never catch up, blah, blah, blah. So when other people speak for you, that's a big thing.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
I agree.
Yeah. So let the people speak.
No, absolutely,
that's,
man.
What I'm down to.
I like it, man. I like it. You got anything fresh?
Honestly, Q, where can people find you, bro? Social media?
So like my main platform is Instagram @QBanks, UEBANKS. And yeah, that's my,
which we'll put that in the description box. We'll put all this stuff. Do you have any like upcoming projects that you want to talk about briefly?
Nothing really crazy, but at the same time, there's going to be a $250 off on Wall Street Academy main online course. You can check it out. You know what I'm saying? Take advantage of the knowledge. $500 for lifetime skill set. That's pretty much it.
People want to hire you as a coach, how can they? They can't. No.
Like, that's booked. That's pretty much No. I've sold out every single class that I've ever taught in the past like 5 years.
Oh, wow.
In seconds. I'm not doing anymore, because I'm taking my time back, because I feel like I gave enough of my time to my community.
Gotcha.
And my niche. for them to get to where they want to be. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I don't do any more in-person classes and whatnot. Like how I used to fly all around the world and everything to teach. But at the same time,
that must have been draining.
It was draining, yeah. But at the same time, like I loved to do it because I changed so many lives over the past like 5 years. But at the same time, like I'm spending like 55 hours teaching, talking the entire week. You know what I'm saying? So like that alone is kind of like takes up a lot of time. But now since I'm out of that, I trade better. I focus better because every single time that I was doing a 5-day course, my knowledge would be up here starting on day one. But by the time I've like went back and broke things down all the way so a person can actually understand it because I got to break them down and build them up. I'm slowing my process down.
Right. You know what I'm saying? You got to go down to a remedial level to teach someone like me who knows nothing about trading from an entry level. And obviously there's a burn of performance, right? Because they're paying you probably thousands of dollars to come to this class.
Yeah.
And then you're breaking it down to teach them.
It was definitely affordable. It was actually $1,300 once you're a student. So like once you're a student of Wall Street Academy, it's $1,300 to actually get in person class. And I mean,
wow.
I always say like
good price.
That's cheap for what you're getting because I mean, I've had students like that following week after the 5-day course make like $30,000. You know what I'm saying? I have students that like they're on the way home on their flight, make their money back that they paid for the class. So now the class is pretty much free. It's paid off. So it's like what you're getting out of the class is that lifetime skill set to make money, you know?
Priceless,
exactly. So,
And 1300 for those that aren't aware, like in the digital marketing world, 1300 is not that much. It's like that's very good.
Yeah.
You know, you got guys selling BS courses for $9.97, you know what I'm saying? And 12 to get like on deck, like hands-on coaching. That's a good price.
Yeah, man. But at the same time, like, I mean, my course itself has increased in price over time. Like back in 2015, FIP in Wall Street Academy was $25. So students that actually enrolled back in 2015 is still inside the course today and benefiting from all the new content that comes out, the webinars, everything that the new students get today. The person that enrolled 5 years ago is still benefiting. You know what I'm saying? So over time, as value increases, the price increases as well. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, like it's more than worth it at the end of the day.
So do your grandfather in.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny because we have Patreon as well. Yeah. And like our guys that were in from the beginning, they get everything right now. In that sense too, so it makes a lot of sense.
So, at Q Banks on Instagram, YouTube, you have a YouTube channel too, right?
Q Banks
on YouTube. We'll put the links in the description for you guys. And then, are you said you're on Patreon as well?
No.
No, I'm not. But
not.
I seen it.
Okay,
yeah,
okay,
yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you're on Patreon. Okay, so you're on YouTube, Instagram, any other social media thing?
You have a merch, right? Merch. Stuff?
I mean, you know. Barely, but at the same time, like, you know, like those are random drops that I do on my Instagram page and whatnot, like FIP hats and whatnot. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
Okay. So if the people want to find you, they can basically book your course. You said, what's it called? One more time?
Wall Street Academy?
No, it's wsatraining.com is the website, wsatraining.com. And that pretty much gives you, you know, a little bit of about me, like my bio and whatnot. And then pretty much you have access to see what all the courses are all about.
Got it.
Awesome.
And yeah, just watch my Instagram to get the Black Friday code for that $250 off from the 26th through the 29th or something kind of like that.
But all right.
Just watch my Instagram.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. We'll be releasing an Instagram course on November 18th, early bird special.
That's exciting.
DMs on demand, guys. Yeah. For $397 is going to be the special price. Then it goes up to $497, then $797. But anyway, guys, we're going to put Q Banks, all his contact information in the description box.
Yep.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, man.
Bro. Thanks for coming,
bro. We'll definitely catch you guys on the next one, man. On this special edition of Fresh Fit Podcast. Yep. Peace, guys.
Peace.